Instruction regarding the publishing work. October 16, 1901. The presentation before me is that for years, the publishing house in Battle Creek has been failing to train workers so that they can go forth from the office properly qualified to work wherever they may be called to go. The reason is that those in positions of responsibility have lost sight of the importance of enlightening the world in regard to present truth. Patient, painstaking effort should be put forth to train the workers who come into the office. They should be taught the various lines of work. It is not sufficient to have a knowledge of one line only. But in some instances, there has been shown a selfish dislike to make the apprentices acquainted with the different lines of work. This is not right. They should be given an all-round knowledge of the work, so that if they are called to other fields to engage in printing work, they will have a practical knowledge of what is to be done. With this training, they can do without blundering the work before them in a new field. The workers in a publishing house have a right to expect advantages of education in that line of work. It is supposed that they are receiving these advantages, but in many cases, they are being spoiled by a sham education. This is robbery of them. Their work is only half done and would not be accepted by any well-regulated office. God has seen with sadness the lack of principle, the lack of genuine religious instruction. Because of the neglect shown in this matter, work that should be done well is done imperfectly, and the same neglect is brought into the religious experience. If justice is done to the apprentices, they should, after the necessary time spent in the institution, be ready to go forth prepared to take up intelligently the different lines of printing work, giving momentum to the cause of God by the best use of their energies. They should be able to give to others the knowledge they have received and acquired. They should receive a training in Bible lines, that they may go forth as men and women who love and fear God, to do missionary work for Him, having respect for all His commandments, and desiring above all things to advance in accordance with His will. The learners in our publishing houses must be trained to be master workers, who will be a recommendation to the managers as they go out into the world. Their conduct should be such as will inspire confidence. If they have been wisely trained, their usefulness and adaptability will speak for the instruction they have received. To every young man and young woman, I make my appeal. Maintain Christian principles. Refuse to allow any man, no matter what his position, to lead you to deviate from strict fidelity to the law of God. Remember that if you treat lightly one of God's precepts, He will call you to account. Do not take the careless, indifferent attitude of any human beings, even though they may be your instructors, as a criterion. Those who stand in such an attitude have mingled the common and the sacred, bringing the sacred down to the level of the common. I warn the youth not to copy indifference to a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." Thou shalt and thou shalt not. This is to be your guide. Let not the word of anyone lead you to deviate in the slightest degree from God's plan. God has plainly stated the principles which should control in all matters of business. Believers should keep the word of the Lord ever before them. In all their business dealing with believers or unbelievers, they are to show justice and equity. They are to be examples of purity and integrity, giving no cause for the world to point to the close, selfish, covetous practices of men professing godliness. God's people, bought with the blood of His only begotten Son, will never be gainers by underhand transactions, even though these transactions are entered into to obtain means for His cause. God is glorified only when His people practice His principles. They are never to compromise or confederate with wrongdoers. They are never to give the impression that the law of God is not their safeguard. They are to honor God by a strict observance of His principles. never is principle to be sacrificed to policy. There must be no deviation from the straight line of duty, no yielding to the suggestion to mingle plans of worldly policy with the work of God. This is always dishonoring to God and spoils man's record in the books of heaven. Those who love God will obey His law, realizing that they are answerable to God. He who is saved must be truly converted, determined to serve God and God only. Those who are born again are bound to maintain the principles of righteousness in all their dealing. They feel an intense solicitude for the good of their fellow beings and for the exaltation of the law of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In no case is it to be trifled with. In all you do, keep before the mind the glory of God. Look constantly to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Bow with solemnity to the mandate of heaven. Remember that your manner of keeping the law of God determines your future. God's blood-bought heritage should be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. There should be far less idle talk and far more of the silence of God in the soul. Then will the heart be filled with respect and love for the law. The Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our ruler. Parents and children are to be controlled and guided by Him. Those who love Him will keep His commandments. But in every one of our institutions, there is need of elevating the standard of obedience. There is need of a reformation of the principles followed in dealing with one another. In all our institutions, to a greater or lesser degree, the principles of heaven becoming mixed with human preferences and opinions. There are many, even among those occupying responsible positions, who are not walking in the light of God's commandments. The following words describe their religious standing. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. Isaiah 56, verse 10, 11. God says to them, Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, verse 11. I tell you that those who have discovered themselves to strangers, who have led God's people in false paths, will never see His face. They claim to believe God's law, but they transgress this law, allowing Satan to work his will and way through them. They claim to follow the Lord, but He says, I know them not. They are workers of iniquity, multiplying disobedience, and leading my people in strange paths. I cannot keep my covenant with them. I speak to the workers in our institutions, especially those in the Review and Herald office. There must be a cleansing from all unrighteousness. Take up the stumbling blocks, inquire for right paths, walk in the footsteps of Christ. The office needs to be cleansed from defilement. God's standard has been lowered to the dust. If His will is carried out, His truth must penetrate deeper into the hearts of His people than it has penetrated for years in the past. A work must be done that has not been done. Noble sentiments must come in to expel the cheap, irreligious sentiments which have borne sway. Those who keep eternity in view will live in hourly communion with God. When the way is prepared for the Lord, He will cooperate with men and women, and His truth will be honored. I have set before you the necessity of a much deeper work of conversion than has yet been seen. When the people of God seek Him with all the heart, in repentance and humiliation, His high, holy principles will revive in their hearts. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they will make strenuous efforts to arouse the powers which God has implanted in the nature, which have so long lain dormant. As they seek the Lord in true penitence, with confession of sin, He will respond, giving light and life and power to do right because it is right. Come to the cross of Calvary. This is the source of all power. Many of you have laid down the cross which Christ placed on you. Take it up for Christ's sake. Take it up and bear it after Him. Thus only can you gain spiritual life and strength and excellency. Those who cherish and follow the two great principles of the law will manifest deep, earnest sympathy and love to God and man. The moral taste will be elevated, the passions controlled and sanctified. Christ will be set forth as the one altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. In the life will be revealed the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5, verse 24. The system of education given the apprentices needs to be reformed. But before this can be done, the practices of those in responsible positions must be reformed. To these I say, put away the commercial work which has taken so much time, and labor in missionary lines for the youth under your care. Take time to deal honestly with God, time to understand and obey His law. Every talent we possess is a gift from the Lord, to be used to His glory. Wherein has He been glorified by your short-sighted policy in introducing into the publishing house the sentiments of the enemy?
The Laodicean message has been presented to me as applicable to the people of God in their present spiritual condition. For Christ's sake, open your eyes to discern spiritual things. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 7:1.